Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Ball and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How's it going?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. It's a beautiful day outside. I got back from, you know, school duties and whatnot, and as far as kids, and started searching. Ruth is trying to, wants to renew her passport ever since I found it, and I've regretted finding it ever since.
Yeah.
Because it's still within the time period. Like, it's expired, but still within the time period that she can send it in. It's in her paperwork in, and they don't, shouldn't have to go through the, you know, like, filling out, like, a brand spec. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of a abbreviated. But she needs her birth, she needs our, it's her maiden name. So that should tell you how long it's been since she's had one. So, so she needs our marriage certificate, possibly her birth certificate. No, marriage certificate needs Grayson's birth certificate. All of which I have somewhere in a nice little storage container that, like a file cabinet, not a file cabinet per se, but it's like when you could put files in, but it's a plastic tote thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I found mine. I found yours. I found my divorce paperwork. I cannot find my marriage certificate or Grayson's, which I thought were all together.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, it has to be in this other storage thing, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't found it yet. So this has been 2 weeks of me just cleaning out the closet, see if I put it in there. Because, you know, we've moved since the last time she's needed any of that. Mm-hmm. And I can't. So I got home today. I'm like, all right, I'll check the garage because it's not in the attic. It's not in my closet. Check the garage. And yep, I can't. I searched the garage. I haven't found it. So we're just going to have to mail off her new one. Or she's going to have to mail off her a new one. And then I'll just go down to the county clerk's office and get another one for Grayson.
Yeah.
But I found a lot of other random stuff while searching, which was nice. None of which I was looking for, but I found things nonetheless. So that was fun.
It's usually how you find stuff. The thing you're looking for, but you find something else.
110%.
So maybe when you're looking for something else, you'll find that.
I guarantee that's what's going to happen. Guarantee it. Yeah, it's all good, though. It's all good. But that's been my morning. But yeah, everybody's doing good. Grace's team, soccer team, won 4-3. And she played off. She didn't play in the first half. Second half, the first part of the second half. There you go. So I guess the third quarter, if you will, she played offense, and then the fourth quarter, if you will, or just the second part of the second half, she played goalie and only allowed one in and had three great saves, according to the video I watched. So there's that. But yeah, no, it's great. And then New York was there to support and everything, and yeah, just a good time. So that's pretty much been it, other than watching a lot of playoff basketball and watching my Mavericks win one and then lose one. Actually, come back from a 30-point deficit yesterday, and almost basically pull out a win just to really more or less lose by 7. So, but I'll take it. So. We're tied at 2 apiece between Clippers and Mavericks, and Dustin and I have been going back and forth being the most apologetic of our players. He's been ragging on his, I've been ragging on, well, at least one of mine.
Yeah.
Or one of the Mavericks, not mine. One of the Mavericks players. So it's been fun. But watching everything else has been great too. And just it's been some really high quality basketball. Other than a couple of games where they won by over 20 or more. Other than that, yeah, it's been some really good basketball. Yeah, it's been competitive, extremely close games. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
Nashville Predators also, they're up 3-2 now, or 3-1. Either 3-1 or 3-2 against the Vancouver Canucks. They lost last night also.
Mm-hmm.
They were winning 3-1, and then within 2 minutes, the Canucks scored. Well, as many goals, and then tied the game with 1.7 seconds left in the game. and they tied it. Yeah, it was wild, just wild. And they went to overtime, and then the Canucks won 4-3. So it's wild. But it's just, that's hockey for you. So, yeah. Sports.
Things but can yeah, change quickly.
Yes, and that's, yeah, that's really all that's going on here.
Ooh. Friday, my niece had her pre-K graduation.
Yo.
So, yeah, she goes to Ezel Harding. So
okay, yeah.
Got there that morning, and so they had like preschoolers that had songs that they performed. You know, did their little dance too. It was cute. And then when they got to the pre-K, pretty much the same thing. They actually had some songs that they sang, and you know, it was cute. It was a cool performance. A couple of the preschoolers, when they were doing their thing, a couple of them were crying. It was weird because one little girl was crying, and then she got into it and started getting with the program. And then her crying switched to another student, and they started crying. I was like,
it's like, dang, like yawning. It's just chain reaction.
Yeah.
Maybe there were tears of joy or set. Maybe it's tears of sadness because it's over and they got to move on to big kid school.
It's possible.
But it was doubted.
Yeah, but that was cool. So afterwards, she was like, Uncle P, can you get me a gift? And I'm like, oh, we're doing gifts. So me being there is not enough, huh? She just looked at me. She's like, come on now. So when I got off work Friday, I got her these two graduation plush dolls, a Mickey and Minnie.
Uh-huh.
And then she wants to be an astronaut. So I got her a Lego set where she can make a ship or an astronaut. And
yeah.
I guess like a scuttle ship. It's a 3-in-1.
It's a 3-in-1. Yeah, it's 3-in-1. Those are great.
Yeah, so I got her that.
Spaceship.
Yeah, and then a small Anna doll from Princess and the Frog.
Oh. So. I wasn't quite sure where you were going with that. So I thought you were going Annabelle doll. I'm like, oh my God.
No, because Christmas I got her.
You're like, no, that's kindergarten graduation.
Yeah. So Christmas I got her the Moana doll. It's a little, the shorter version. And so I was going to get both, but I'm glad I waited because made the other one perfect for graduation.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. And then after this week, one more week, and then my daughter's graduating.
Got it. Dude, so one of the things I found, and I thought of you and Kyla, I found my senior ring.
Mm-hmm.
Found the ancient relic from a forgotten time of 1996. And it gets all the way to my knuckle, and that's as far as it goes.
Dang.
So, yeah.
And an update on her ring, it actually shipped last week, so it should be coming in this week.
Okay,
so
it'll
be here in time. Yep. Because at first I wasn't going to ship to the 3rd, and like, well, it needs to get to us in 6 days or before we head out to the graduation on that Friday. But thankfully it's already shipped, and I got that express shipping, so hopefully it'll be here before the end of the week.
That would be awesome. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's like sweet. I found it, I guess. I don't know. And then I put it on. I'm like, oh, look at that. Still fit. Nope. Never mind. I'm definitely not forcing it. This is as far as it goes. This is as far as it goes. So.
Yeah, I still don't know what mine is. I have no idea.
Well, again, when you're not looking for it, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You're trying to find something else. I'll find it.
But man, you can get a chain and make a necklace for it instead of wearing it on your finger.
Yeah. Or put it back in the container that I had it in, put it back in the tub. I found it, and then
that's an option.
It'll be a nice little surprise. It'll be a nice little surprise later too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I found a card that my grandparents had for Yorick. Mm-hmm. I think he was 2 or 3. And I opened it up, and there was a $2 bill, or not was, bill in there. Nice. I said, here, hopefully this will bring you some luck. So I closed it back up, put it back in the envelope, put it back in the thing. I won't see it again for forever.
Yeah.
Which is great, because I hope I find it by the time he graduates, so I can just give him that card then, with the $2 bill inside.
There you go.
Or maybe wait till he gets married, if he decides to get married.
Options.
Yep, I'm definitely holding on to it, though. And I'm definitely not telling them about it, because they'll go start snooping trying to find a $2 bill to spend something. I think you could spend $2 on anything, but still. It's a crisp one, too.
Put it on eBay.
Dude, yeah. Dude, it is in great condition, too. Like, it's a crisp $2 bill, which makes me think it's fake. Like, but the fact that it's come. Yeah. $50 bill. $50 bill. Guys, we have enough money to save the Goondocks. Can you imagine making fake $2 bills, though? That's like the lowest form of.
I wouldn't be surprised if that actually has happened. Just not documented.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. But yeah, it's. I'm sure there'll be a Netflix docuseries about it at some point.
Yep, being with the med, it says. See? I knew it.
Yeah, see? Dang it. You're welcome. You're welcome. All I have to say is you're welcome. You're welcome. Oh man. All right. Let's get into it. So trailers. Before we even start with the ones that came out this week, we had mentioned while recording the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine dropped. Mm-hmm. Have you watched it yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of my coworkers and friends had to explain to me who the bald lady was, and it wasn't James McAvoy from Split.
Yeah, that was my first thought. Like, it's got to be Patricia.
Yeah,
but nah, yeah.
So nope. No, it's Cassandra. Forgot the last name, but I think her first name's, yes, that's right, Cassandra Nova. And from some timeline, she is the daughter of Professor X. She is not a mutant, but has all the abilities. So I don't know how that works, but
maybe some experiment.
Maybe. Which experimenting, wouldn't that then make her turn her into a mutant? Like, she wasn't, I guess, genetically modified, but she wasn't born. So however that works.
Huh. So I just did a quick Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fact, because Wikipedia, right. But it says here that she's actually the twin sister of him. And let's say, while in the womb, Charles recognized her evil presence and killed her, resulting in her being stillbirth. And then somehow she's became telepathically entangled with him, granting her psionic powers herself, including the ability to exit the womb and create a body with which she sought revenge on Xavier. Wow. I don't know if they're going to go with that, but that's pretty dark.
But, it'll give them something to go off of.
Yeah. Hadn't read that before.
Hey, that's one of those based on the comic type things, not.
Which is good. Comic sayers don't like when they deviate.
But yeah. It's great. All the Easter eggs in it look great. The dialogue, like, everything just looks amazing. Like, it's going to be just another just fun ride, and probably the one movie I'm really looking forward to this summer. So,
do you see they're doing some reshoots?
No,
even though they have a permanent opening date. So,
I wonder if it's just cameos, like they're gonna just add some more cameos or something like that. It's,
or maybe they're doing not like a post credit, maybe a post credit thing.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
it'll be something like that. I don't think it's.
Yeah, because it's not affecting the release date, then.
Yeah. Then it's like a major story arc change or something like that. So, yeah, but that, if you haven't watched it and you're interested and haven't already watched it like 3 or 4 times like I have, then, yeah, go check it out. It looks great. They got Ledger in the sleeveless. Not Ledger. Good God. Jackman. Sorry, wrong Hugh. Or Heath. Anyways. They got Hugh Jackman in the sleeveless Wolverine yellow tights, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And dude looks better now than he did in 2000 when the first one came out.
Oh yeah, way, way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just him personally looks, yeah.
Taking care of himself.
Yeah, that's a age does things to different people, I guess.
That's true.
So, but no, it looks awesome. Can't wait.
So I saw a video on Twitter where somebody put the mask on him.
Mm-hmm.
It looks, it's cool looking, but it needs some tweaking, but it was cool to see the full
costume. Yeah, the full thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this trailer legit just dropped today. Mufasa, The Lion King, coming out December 20th, directed by Barry Jenkins. Simba, having become king of the Pride Lands, is determined for his cub to follow in his paw prints, while the origins of his late father, Mufasa, are explored. So, using these word, I'm using air quotes because it's an audio medium, but live action. So, CG. Heavy on CG. But the CG looks a lot better than the Lion King live action. There we go. Yeah. That's my air quote voice. But yeah, it looks a lot better. I think, sure. Then next, Russell Crowe doing it up again. But I think he's wearing the exact same priest costume he wore in
Alternate Universe. Oh.
Yes. So Russell Crowe getting pigeonholed gets a demon taken. Is that what it is? Is it like everybody gets it taken, but Russell Crowe decides to get the demonic taken? Demonic taken two. This is the exorcism.
Like, we liked you in that so much. Just going to keep you.
You really knocked it out of the park as a priest in the movie, like 12 people saw.
I'm one of God the 12. Bless.
Yeah, I know. And I watched it streaming, so yeah. Anyways, the Exorcism, rated R, an hour and 33 minutes long. set to be released June 7th, so a summer release here. A troubled actor begins to unravel while shooting a horror film. I feel like this is a documentary, but okay. His estranged daughter wonders if he's slipping back into his past addictions, or if there's something more sinister at play. Again, I think this is a documentary. If Russell Crowe throws a phone at somebody in this, it's life imitating art, imitating life, or something like that. And if he starts playing the guitar. Anyways, yeah. Starring Russell Crowe, Adam Goldberg, Samantha Mathis, Sam Worthington. There's a decent cast of people in here. David Hyde Pierce, even. Adrian Pastar. Chloe Bailey. Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I may even go see this. I like the premise. The premise sounds interesting. So
yeah.
So maybe not another. Well, I guess technically a demonic taking. Next, there's a better preview for Jennifer Lopez's Atlas that's dropping on Netflix May 24th. Leak sounding future where an AI soldier has determined the only way to end war is to end humanity. Jennifer Lopez, Simu Liu, Sterling K. Brown. Yeah. See, May 24th. And then lastly, we have, I can't find it now. Oh, here we go. I don't think I talked about this one last week. Blink Twice. This is directed by Zoe Kravitz. When a tech billionaire, Slater King, meets cocktail waitress Frida at his fundraising gala, he invites her to join him and his friends on a dream vacation on his private island. As strange things start to happen, Frida questions her reality. So, Fantasy Island? Again? Starring Adria Ajorna, Kyle MacLachlan, Channing Tatum, Aaliyah Shawcott, Christian Slater, Haley Joel Osment, Gina Davis. I haven't seen her in anything in a while. This would be great. And looks like Simon Rex is also in it. Yeah, decent cast. Set to be released August 23rd. And Channing Tatum looks like he's just having a blast already, just from the trailer.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Alrighty, well, let's get into our first feature presentation. We saw, and in fact, York saw twice, but we went and saw The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, or Inglorious British, Inglorious Brits.
Or the real Expendables 4.
Yes. Yeah. This is rated R, runtime 2 hours. Came out April 19th. The British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. This is directed by Guy Ritchie. Yeah, it's so the best way to kind of, I don't know, I'll get into it in a second. I'm talking about Guy Ritchie. Anyways, stars Henry Cavill as Gus March Phillips, Alan Richson as Anders Lassen. Most people know him as Reacher. It's one of those, that's Jack Reacher. And that's all. Anyways, Alex Pettyfer as Jeffrey Appleyard. I think it's Yaiza Gonzalez as Marjorie Stewart. I saw this on the credits. I go, I'm going to butcher this so bad. Babs Olusemanokun. Olusemanokun. Yeah. Looks good. As Haran. Carrie Ewells as Brigadier Gubbins, a.k.a. M. Hero finds Tiffin as Henry Hayes. Henry Golding as Freddy Alvarez. Rory Kinnear as Churchill. Till Schweiger as Heinrich Luhrer. And then Freddie Fox as Dean Fleming. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So, to which this guy that plays Fleming, Ian Fleming in this, reminds me so much of this actor that was in If Looks Could Kill. Mind you, this is 20 plus years ago. 23 years ago. 33. Jesus Christ. 33 years ago. Oh my God.
Might as well just say a few decades.
I know. I just need to start adding this. Anyways, he looks just like him, sounds just like him. I'm like, I wonder if it's Ken, like if that's his kid or something.
Yeah.
But anyways. Yeah, so basically Churchill needs to get a ragtag group of British military together to basically sink some boats that carry equipment for German U-boats that have been basically having a major effect on the war, sinking battleships and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, but it has to be unsanctioned. Basically, the British military can't know about it. No one can know about it. And because they have to go and do things that are not technically proper, one might say. And so they got a bunch of people that will go and do those things, led by Henry Cavill's character, Gus March Phillips, who is not one to listen to, rules or authority.
Does things his own way.
Yes, does things his own way, and albeit very effective.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then he recruits Anders Lassen, who was living off the land and kind of staying out of the war until the Germans killed his brother. So because he's big on hunting, he knows how to use a bow and arrow very well. So like Green Arrow expert level, or Hawkeye, one might say, depending on your fandom. But he's also literally killer with a knife. Yeah, well, don't get a knife. Yeah. Oh my God.
Swiss cheese. Slice you up.
Man.
Then in one part, he's like, I don't like violence or whatever. I don't want to
do
this. And then the next thing you know, he's just arrow, like from distances, like bullseyes. Like, sometimes two people at the same time with the same arrow. Yes. Like, he's putting so much force on it from the release. Yeah. Like, dang, he just takes care of business. Action.
Yeah.
All action.
I mean, if you had arms like his, you'd be able to bring that force.
Yeah.
For sure. Just, but yeah, no. He does. And then reuses them either by hand or by either to stab or for its proper use.
Yeah.
But yeah, it one thing's for sure, this movie is not short on action.
No.
And one thing Guy Ritchie does really well, he's got his own pacing with dialogue. Like, it's very, like, it you can tell it, you would know it's a Guy Ritchie just by watching and listening to them, the way they deliver dialogue. It's not like normal everyday speaking kind of dialogue, but it's not like stiff, like you could tell people don't know how to write people. You know what I mean? Like, people don't know how to write characters different. They just write dialogue, and then it just can come off stiff. But no, he has a certain cadence. There's a certain cadence to his dialogue. And everything's deliberate. And in every single movie of his, you can see whether it's one of his great movies or one of his not so great movies, which there are several of. And I love Guy Ritchie. I remember in my film class in college, we watched Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And it had only been out like 2 years, I think. Had never heard of Guy Ritchie because when it was his first movie at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what we were studying, what area of film we were studying. But I remember I had a hard time concentrating, like watch it as a student of film. I was too busy enjoying it as an audience member.
Yeah,
watching it for the first time. And just thinking, this is freaking brilliant. How have I never heard it? I mean, granted, but how did I not know this one came out?
Mm-hmm.
And it, to this day, is still my favorite movie. It's one of my favorite movies of his. Obviously, that and Snatch are top two for me. The Snatch is just in a league of its own. I don't see them ever making a movie anywhere close to that. I don't see Guy Ritchie ever making a movie close to that. It's definitely of its... You know, it's of its time, but it's like peak. Like, this is just classic one-liners everywhere. Great action, great dialogue, freaking hilarious, very quotable lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of times I tell somebody 2 minutes Turkish is like ridiculous. And most people don't know what I'm talking about, sadly. But it's definitely one of my favorite Brad Pitt roles. So, anyways, getting back to this movie, though. The pacing moved a lot faster, I felt, in this one than like in The Gentleman, which was his last feature. I felt The Gentleman was okay, but it was a lot of talky talk. There wasn't like much going on other than just talking, I felt. At least that's my memory from it. And so I wasn't as invested in it. I loved the cast, and it wasn't a bad movie. It's just, when I go see a Guy Ritchie movie, I expect a little bit more of.
That was with Matthew McConaughey, right?
Yeah, and Colin Farrell, I think.
Yeah, but it's been a mess.
Yeah, it's been right. Yeah, I mean, again, it's not bad. It's just, and I like to see that he tries to take chances and try and do something different. But he's best when he's doing a heist. It just is what it is. He's great at heist movies, whether it's ones he's written or ones that are like this one that are based on previous material being these are from the files of Winston Churchill. The secret files of Winston Churchill that had been locked under seal until 2016. So that should tell you like 80 years.
Yeah.
So then obviously this is not verbatim. I obviously took some liberties. Like, basically the people are real. The events probably are a little more embellished. Okay, probably a lot more embellished.
The comedic look.
Yes. But it does what it's supposed to do, which is the music too. The music as a character in this movie is just awesome. A score that you can really pick out, like themes and different, in the different way the music shifts and everything. When that pops out, that's what to me really helps make a movie, because a lot of times, you know, the music kind of just, I don't want to say fades in the background. It adds, but it doesn't. It's not like noticeable. It's not like memorable. It was just there. But this, I really enjoyed the score to this one. And very whimsical, but yet dramatic at the same time. Like, they were able to really do something great with it. And I really appreciated it. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have two stories. You have your band of misfits together trying to sink these U-boats. But then you have another story where Marjorie and Mr. Heron or trying to infiltrate in a different way, you know, so you have these two stories that converge at a certain point, which I guess that's kind of a trope for Guy Ritchie as well, where he has multiple things going on and then they eventually come together toward the end. So I like that. So it just kind of, while this is happening, like, well, what's going on with the guys? And then when you're with them, it's like, well, what's going on with there? You know, so you got things to think about as the story progresses. And I like when they first introduce Gus. He's just randomly stealing cigars and taking stuff he wants. He wants jacket of one of the.
When they get this.
And it's like, yeah, I like that jacket. And then next shot, he has it. And it's just those little subtle humor there. It's the most I've seen of Henry Cavill as far as emoting instead of just the scowling and whatnot. So he actually is, you know, smiling a lot more.
Well, he's very charismatic in this
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's got a lot of character in this, and which was good to see.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's very deadpan most of the time. Just like,
well, and as Superman, but that's also not his fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel.
But he just seemed like he was having more fun with this. Everybody really felt like they were having a good time in their roles. And yeah, this is, if you're disappointed in Expendables 4, I think this will be a good movie to watch to kind of replace that.
This could
be your unofficial Expendables 4 movie.
Yeah.
British.
Yeah, there you go. So Christopher Benstead is the one that is the composer for the score to this, but he also did it for the series, The Gentleman, that's on Netflix, as well as Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. The Covenant's another great film that is not like a Guy Ritchie movie. He steps out of his formula, I guess you could say, and does something different. And I really enjoyed that movie as well, because it was something different from him.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that yet.
Okay.
Still on my list.
But he also was the composer for Operation Fortune, Rose de Guerre, and Wrath of Man, and The Gentleman. And then he's done some like music edit. Oh, and Aladdin. Forgot Guy Ritchie did that one too. That one's for his kids though, that one's a wash. Mark, that one's a wash. But yeah, so you got them and they have to go on this fishing boat to get to this island.
Mm-hmm.
To get to this one U-boat where the two stories shall meet on this little port area. And they're trying to go around because there's too many U-boats close to the mainland, but they don't want to go too far out because the British warships are out there. Because they basically, the Brits will either capture them and make them go back home.
Yeah.
Or they might get sunk by a U-boat. But then they find out that this boat that they're having to go sink is leaving 3 days earlier. So they're having to cut their time because they said it was going to take 14 or 15 days to get there. And they now have to cut it down to 12.
Yeah.
So they have to go right in between the U-boats and the battleships and in order to get there in 12 days and in this little fishing boat. So, but they, you know, they get there and then they have to, you know, their plans have to change because they reinforced the boat so they can't sink it.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, I'm thinking like they're having to sink a U-boat, not like a tanker ship with part for some reason. I guess that wasn't, I missed that part. And I'm like, dude, just open the damn top and then just drop your explosives, call it a day.
Yeah. In the movie, they do something similar.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like, well, because for me, I'm like, well, even if it won't sink, it'll destroy all the equipment inside. But then, you know, York set me straight. He's like, no, it's not like that. It's not that kind of boat. It's like a ship. And to which, again, I said, okay, get on there. Mm-hmm. You can't sink it. Go to where the main thing is. Destroy everything inside. They still cannot take it out.
Yeah.
Like, it may
destroy
not
destroy everything from the inside.
Right. It may not sink, but it sure as hell ain't going to be useful.
Right.
But they're still not going to be able to use it. That takes away from all the fun from all the good action. You know?
Yeah. So we won't have a movie if they do that.
Right. So in this movie is an absolute blast, no pun intended, as there are several in there. But it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's good. It's an amazingly fun Guy Ritchie movie to watch. And the time just passes while you watch it. It's one of those, you're like, you don't realize that you're already at the end of the movie, which is great because that makes it more watchable, you know, or at least rewatchable.
True.
and
well paced, and
yes,
like you wouldn't know it was 2 hours.
Exactly. One of my favorite things too is that it. Okay, no, not one of my favorite things. My only gripe about it, my only gripe, I didn't think there were enough. It felt like everything went a little bit too well. Like, other than, oh no, we have to modify our plan.
Like, there weren't any real stakes.
Only one person got injured. Like, everything went a little bit too well.
Yeah.
Which is also my only gripe with the show Reacher on Prime starring Alan Ritchson. Is that it just seems like he doesn't really get hurt all that much. Like, there's stakes, but there's really not. There was more stakes in season two, but I still didn't quite feel. Like, in the first season, it just seemed like
just going through
nothing. Nothing happens.
Strong guy.
Like, yeah, a big strong dude. Nothing can, you know, nothing happens to him. He never loses.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how you come back and, you know, from adversity. You know, like, that's what's great about watching movies is that you overcome the adversity and learn something. But dude's just going through and then punishing people, which, again, I have nothing against, but, you know, to make it, you need a little bit of something.
Change it up a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Show, at least show at some point, like, okay, they might not succeed.
There's, right.
You know, but there's no point where you feel that. Or somebody's not going to make it out of this
right.
alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Some sort of peril other than
yeah.
with the group, you know, with the team. But, like, one guy gets shot, and that's, like, the most. And he gets shot in the shoulder.
And he's
like
mostly okay after.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I did notice that.
I was like,
nobody's dying?
I mean, again, I really enjoyed it, but, you know, it's still enough to kind of irritate me some.
Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely fun.
Yes, indeed. So definitely go check it out. I can see why you weren't going to see it a second time. And you know, I knew it was going to have to be good because York said he wanted to go see it a second time. York is not really one to go see a movie a second time. Like, if it's on TV, he may watch it. Yeah, yeah. So, he said, well, if you want to go, I'd probably go with you. But then I probably would be like, yeah, I'll go with you. So I was, okay. But yeah, he had a blast. And he loved knowing that Ian Fleming, who wrote James Bond, was a character. I mean, that character, because he actually was a prominent figure in Spy, which is how he was inspired to write the James Bond series. And Henry Cavill's character is basically who he kind of bases a lot of James Bond's characteristics off of. So I said, well, there's a great documentary on Amazon Prime about Ian Fleming that we should watch if you're interested. Like, okay. All right, let's move on to our second feature, and then you've got one more to talk about after. Next, we have Anyone But You, which was in theaters and might still be like one. I don't know if it's like got one showing or not, maybe here or there. It might possibly still be in theater. But if it's not, fear not. It is on Netflix, which is how I watched it.
Yeah.
Because this did come out December 26th, which is a weird time for a kind of a rom-com to come out.
True. And has no kind of Christmas tie-in or anything.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
Rated R, runtime 1 hour, 43 minutes. Starring Sydney Sweeney, which some may know from Madam Web, and Glenn Powell, which many will know from Top Gun Maverick, and will soon known from Twisters, and then will also soon know in the remake of The Running Man.
Yep.
Homeboy's been busy. Yep. All right. So after an amazing first date, B and Ben, that's just lazy. I don't want to say that's lazy screenwriting. No, that's the screenwriter's like, if I got to type their name this many times throughout this movie, it's going to be short. Yeah. Which, by the way, is in Sid Field's screenplay book. Like, how to write a screenplay, do not choose a long name. Because you're going to have to type that for, you know, 140, 150 pages.
B and Ben.
I heard that. I go, someone read the book.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep it simple. Yep. So B and Ben's fiery attraction turns ice cold until they find themselves unexpectedly reunited at a wedding in Australia. So they do what any two mature adults would do they pretend to be a couple. So this movie also stars Alexander Shipp as Claudia, Mia Artemis, Nat Buchanan as Morant. Let's see. Josh Bonilla as Skyler. Gada. Is that Gada or Gada?
I don't know. I've never heard the name.
Yep,
never seen it before either.
Makes it sound like we should know it. As Pete. Hedwig Robinson as Hallie. Dermot Mulroney as Leo. Rachel Griffiths as Innie. Deborah Faye Lee as Flight Attendant. We don't care about that. Brian Brown is also in it. Plays Roger. We have Michelle Hurd as Carol. Darren Barnett as Jonathan. And Joe Davidson as Beau. Oh, and don't forget Charlie Fraser as Margaret. So what we have is two people that had an amazing time. And then they had an amazing time. Until she basically dips out while he's sleeping in the morning. I think because she was scared. And yes, you know,
she had too good of a time and it scared her. Yeah.
Yep. Man. It scared her and she was enjoying herself while she's worried about her, whether she's in law school, she's wondering if she even still wants to be a lawyer, all that stuff. Meanwhile, Ben is a finance bro. it is what it is. He's a finance bro. And he too had a great time, but can't understand why she left.
Yeah.
And so when his buddy comes over, when Pete comes over and talks, you know, and sees him, he talks about, you know, what a great time. And then, of course, he starts getting defense, like, yeah, I had too good of a time. Well, she meant nothing, blah, blah, blah. You know, because he has to get defensive because he doesn't want to admit that he was vulnerable and let somebody in. And then she comes back because she realizes that she just needs to suck it up and just admit that she had a great time and wants to spend more time with him.
Yeah.
Until she walks up and then overhears him basically saying that she was a nobody and, you know, he'll, you know, doesn't see her again, all that stuff. So, you know, some time passes. They're out at a club. So it turns out Ben is friends with B's sister and her fiance. Yeah. So what they didn't realize was that B's sister invited B to the party or to the club.
Yeah.
And then they meet again.
It's crazy how they never met before this.
That's exactly what I was thinking. There's a lot. The plot armor is very translucent in this movie, but it's a rom-com, so we have to give a lot of leeway to those types of things.
Just roll with it. Like, all right.
That's all this movie is. There are so many questions and so many things that I'm like, because I said the same thing. I'm like, how's this the first time y'all are meeting if you're all like best friends?
Yeah. I mean, unless she was just so focused on making her career that she just kind of pushed
couldn't
out of the group for a minute.
Yeah, couldn't hang out. Well, plus she was in a relationship with Jonathan, so they, so she probably would, but still it seems like they would still go, I don't know.
There would be at least some kind of mention.
I don't know. I think it's New York too, so you know, it's big city, you know, we don't know. We could come up with
We're nitpicking now.
we're nitpicking a rom-com, which we should not do. Just enjoy the fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they obviously instantaneously, you know, don't like each other and have snide things to say. And you know, adulting. So I looked up, okay, because they kind of make a joke about her being about Ben being an older, being much older. Now they don't in the movie. They don't look like they're really that far different in age. However, Sydney Sweeney was born in 1997. After I graduated high school, so yeah, there's that. Whereas Glenn Powell was born in 1988. So, you know, 9 years different. Not
a lot.
No. It's the exact one. Okay, no, that's 7 years. You know, I'm about to say it's not any different than my brother and his wife. They're 7 years, not 9 years. But again, not enough that it's like weird.
Yeah, because she's,
you know, she's in her mid 20s and he's at least in his early 30s. It would have been different if she was still in high school and he was in his late 20s.
It's kind of like that movie with Jennifer Lawrence where the kid's 19 and she's 30.
Yes, it's so weird.
That's why I haven't talked about that yet. It bothered me.
I still haven't watched it. I still haven't watched it. I'm like, I probably just don't need to see this one. Oh, goodness. Anyways, it turns out the happy couple's, Claudia and Howie's, wedding is a destination wedding in Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously, not a whole lot of... Oi. Yeah. So, obviously, they're not expecting a whole lot of people to come to this.
Right.
Or they... Let me rephrase that. They do not want a whole lot of people to come to this.
That's a perfect way to do it. Yeah. We're going out of the country.
Shoot off the continent to the furthest continent. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, that's a choice. All right. Somebody's got money. But it turns out, what is it? Is it Pete's stepdad? Like, it's somebody's house. Never mind. It's Claudia's parents. It's Brian Brown and his wife, Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
It's their house. Sorry, Rachel Griffiths, not Rebecca Ferguson. Jesus. But yeah, it's their house. And I love seeing Brian Brown. I was a fan of the FX movies growing up and some of his other kind of early to mid 90s movies. I will watch him in it. I love him. He's the best. Cocktail, loved him in Cocktail. God, he was such a D-bag in Cocktail. I loved him. A lovable D-bag. But he was, yeah.
Yeah.
Watch that movie forever. I probably might need to. I might do that. Anyway. So they all show up. And, of course, they have to, Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, share a plane together. And, of course, there's some dialogue there. So this is a rated R rom-com. I don't understand why it's rated. I mean, I know why it's rated R, but I don't understand it. My biggest pet peeve of this entire movie is the fact that it's a rom-com with so many F-bombs in it. Now, as somebody that uses quite a few,
yeah,
it's saying something. But as a viewer, I don't understand it. Because I feel like you really shrink down your audience of people that are going to want to go see this or watch it, you know, even streaming. Knowing that it's a rom-com, but knowing that it's rated R. Because it has all the, I hate using the word tropes, but I mean it in the nicest way. But it has all the tropes of a rom-com, all the things you would expect there to be, all the kind of ridiculousness, all the different will they, won't they, and, you know, ways, you know, these two grown adults are acting kind of like children,
right,
as they kind of do, as some do in some of these rom-coms in these situations. All that, but we're going to drop all these F-bombs in it. And even has some, like, you know, male butt nudity, which is not a big deal, but still.
It's more like pushing the line of PG-13 instead of R.
Right.
It's just too many F-bombs, I guess.
Yeah, why? But why? I don't feel like it's doing it for comedic effect, and it's not doing it to a hint to make anything better, you know? And it really just, that bugged me. Because this would have been a great PG-13, and I feel like you're really going to alienate an audience of people. Like, I'm not trying to say all boomers won't watch this, but I'm trying to tell you, my mom, I'm going to recommend this. I'm going to tell her that it's going to have all these in it. She may or may not watch it. And I know that there are still people that have a problem here, and the F word once or twice is fine, but a bunch of times they just don't want to hear it.
I mean, if it's just not, if it doesn't fit, like, you know,
yeah,
it's just there for the sake of being there. It's like, hey,
it's like Tarantino, Tarantino's like, you know what? This movie doesn't have enough. You need to put enough on here. It I get if you're trying to exude frustration, but even still, like for a rom-com, they find different ways.
Yeah. They even have them say it, but then they have something happen where you don't hear it. It's implied.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just feel like some of that, I don't know if they were like trying to be like the bridesmaid of rom-coms, but they didn't even still push, like, if you're going to do that and you're going to try and push some boundaries.
They didn't.
You did more of a nudge.
It's like slightly over the line for.
Yeah. But I'm here to tell you this. And again, I'm not trying to crap on the movie. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I laughed quite a few times in this movie. I think I think it's a great rom-com. I really enjoyed it. I will probably see if Ruth wants to watch it. But I just felt the language for it was unnecessary for this movie. It kind of distracted at times. But legit, this is a fun movie. Because they, of course, when they get there, they invite, you know, they're all coming the same way. And of course, they're having to stay there and, you know, stay in the same room, which that didn't get told till they got there. But they put like a shower curtain to divide things or something like that. Well, of course, B's parents, even though focusing on their other daughter's wedding isn't enough, they're like, you know what? We really liked your ex. We really wish you guys would get back together, because that apparently is their business.
Right. But I mean, that's realistic.
Kind of. But then using their points to fly him down there.
Yeah, that's too much. To save those points.
Facts. And
but
so
they must have really, really liked them and thought they were, yep, they should have been. Really did.
Yep. So that's the wrench there. Plus you've got Ben's ex from years ago who's there. And so she's there and they're having to, Margaret, and she's got a new boyfriend who's Aussie and very laid back. He's the wish version of Thor, I think.
He's too chill.
Yeah, he's too chill. He's very Australian, long, you know, real, got surfer, buff surfer look with the long blonde hair, and super chill and kind of, and not afraid just to, yeah, a little bit, yeah, a little bit, but not like ultra douchey. So,
no.
Yeah. But it, you know, great comedic, but he's great for a lot of comedic moments. And basically, they decide that they are going to try and, but in order to make their exes, basically, in order for B to get her parents off of getting her and Jonathan back together, and for Ben to make Margaret jealous, they're going to pretend to be a couple. That's essentially your movie.
Yeah. Then at the same time, her family is trying to ship them anyway.
Yeah, it's so weird. I give up. It's really funny, and there's a lot of farcical things that occur in this movie, but it's great. It's fun. It's fun. It's funny. You know, I had a great time. I didn't dislike it. It just had some things that could have been that could have taken out to make it better.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Exactly. Same.
Yeah. So.
All right. Anyone But You, now on Netflix. Check it out if you want. All right. Drop your... go ahead and talk about the movie. I'm like, yeah, I'm still not going to go watch it. I just don't have any interest. But please, tell me why I should.
So I checked out Challengers. And so for this movie, I know the one thing that stood out from the trailer was Zendaya making out with two guys. That is so small. That's just like a moment. But anyway, checked out Challengers that came out this past Friday. Has a runtime of 2 hours and 11 minutes. Directed by Luca.
Luca.
I'm going to miss his. Maybe it's Guadagnino. Maybe, or yeah. Guadagnino. Written by Justin Kuritsch. And stars Zendaya as Tashi Duncan. Josh O'Connor as Patrick Zweig, and then Mike Feist as Art Donaldson. Tashi, a former tennis prodigy turned coach, turned her husband into a champion, but to overcome a losing streak, he needs to face his ex-best friend and Tashi's ex-boyfriend. So this is, I guess, is more of a character movie with a romantic triangle situation here. And the film is presented in a nonlinear format. So it's a lot of time jumping.
Yeah.
I did get a little confused, but I had points of reference because the hairstyles are different in the different timelines. So that's how I kind of stayed on track. We start off in 2019 where Art and Patrick are playing in a challenger event in which Art was entered in as a wild card because a while back he suffered an injury and he's been on his kind of comeback. Because he's won a lot of, pretty much all of the major titles except for the U.S. Open. If he can get one title, then he'll be a Grand Slam champ. That's all he's got to do. But he's on a losing streak, and it's frustrating Tashi quite a bit. So having recently lost to someone he should have easily won against, Tashi suggests that he goes into this challenger as a wild card and, you know, build his confidence up. And on the other end, you have Patrick, who at this point is a known tennis player, living out of his car, can't even pay for his hotel. And, you know, he's just at the bottom, to the point where he sleeps in his car in the parking lot of this event. But, you know, you see Art and Tashi living it big. They got money. They're doing foundations. They're doing well outside of his slump of losses. And mm-hmm. opposite side, Patrick's kind of just there. So then we go back in time 13 years when they're in high school and they first meet. Patrick and Art has just won a title in their junior doubles championship match. And then they hang around and watch the next match, which is Tashi's match, where she wins her singles title. And then they officially meet at an after party after this event. And so they get to talking a little bit, which leads to them inviting Tashi back to their hotel, which they don't think she's going to show up, but she does. And then we have that scene that's in the trailer where they make out, which there's a scene that leads up to why she's doing it. Basically, she gets told a cute story about the two, and she has a theory. She wants to test something, and that's what leads them to that situation. But before it goes further than it already has, she excuses herself. And knowing that they have a match the next day where their opponents in the final, she says, well, whoever wins this, since you're both wanting my number, whoever the winner is, I'll give my number to the winner. So in this instance, Patrick wins. So he starts dating Tashi. Now, Art and Tashi have decided they want to go to college to play college sports and then also mm-hmm. take classes. So they have that, I guess, that right. backup. Patrick, on the other hand, wants to go pro. So he ends up going pro, going on tour. So his relationship with Tashi is long distance now. But one day they have a fight before her match, and he tells her he's not going to stay to watch. But this is where she ends up injuring her knee in this match. Art is there, so he's by her side. Patrick learns of her injury and shows up, but they both basically tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So, but this starts their relationship kind of budding where Art is helping Tashi rehab, but, you know, she doesn't really get back to tennis like she wants to. So she ends up being a coach for another player. Gotcha. He enlists her help as his coach. And then that relationship buds them dating, marrying, and all that. And long story short, it's just the beginning where they started in 2019 in this match. The rest of the movie is just filling in the space of how they got to this point.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty toxic. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I mean, it's a good movie. Like, it's, I wasn't expecting it. The tennis they show in it is well shot. They even have moments where you become the ball, where you're being hit across the.
Oh, dang.
So yeah. I'm like, man, that could have been cool for 40X.
Right.
But, or 3D.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And so they even have a shot where, you know, how they always bounce the ball prior, where they have. Mm-hmm. Camera pointed up through the ground where they're doing that. They have a couple of cool shots, and then they have like some 80s synth music that plays through some of the scenes. But just going by the trailer and then watching the movie, I was pleasantly surprised by the full,
okay,
you know, spectrum of it. So it's not. I've seen comments like, oh, so this is just a movie about a threesome or whatever. Like, no, that's just like one moment. Right. They're in high school then, and they're just, you know, being kids at this time.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, you do see, you know, it's, yeah, they show some things you probably don't expect to see, you know, but then you get to see Zendaya showing her range where, I mean, they all did well as far as tennis. Like, like it's just amazing the tennis scenes they showed in this. But I would recommend this, you know,
okay.
Don't go in thinking it's just going to be about them and these wild sexcapades, because it's not really right. about that. It's just kind of examining their friendship, because you see Art and Patrick, they're buddies, they're best friends, that you yeah. see it. And then she enters the picture. She doesn't want to be a homewrecker, but
mm-hmm.
probably does that. And then you just get to see how it all culminates. It does kind of have open to interpretation of what you think of the ending. I didn't gotcha. Expect it to end the way it did, but yeah, but well acted, well shot, music's great, and the performances are great.
Okay.
And they all play their younger selves and their older selves. It's, yeah, I thought it was well-rounded. Pretty good.
Cool. All right. Well, maybe I'll, when it comes to streaming, I might buckle down. I'm not going to go see this. But there
is a scene in the locker room where there's some full frontal, quick, maybe some bare butts and whatnot. But
gotcha.
Yeah. But it's, I thought it was worth it. Like, I might check it out again.
Okay. One thing I found out was that about, not this movie, but anything, anyone but you.
Mm-hmm.
I get the wrong any name every time. I better put it wrong whenever we upload this. I just know me. Was that my sister-in-law said that she took her oldest, my oldest niece, and her friends to go see that in theaters. Mm. I said, there's worse things. I said, you should watch Joyride. And then after you get done, realize I took York to go see that in theaters. Oh, and Oppenheimer. So I think you're still winning, sister. I think you're still winning.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's bless. Alrighty. Coming out this week, we've got The Fall Guy. I will be checking that out in IMAX. York will be going with me. The ladies decided they did not want to go because Grayson said there's too much shooting. I said, okay. And Ruth's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. York and I are going then. We're going to IMAX it because I'm not going to 4DX it. I can't. No,
I think that would be a bit much.
It's going to be way.
Yeah, when I check it out, I'm going to do IMAX as well.
Yeah, because it's going to be dope on IMAX.
Yeah.
Or even just Theater 11. But definitely IMAX.
That's where the Challengers was playing.
Oh, okay.
11, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lucky. Also, celebrating its 25th anniversary, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Sorry, Star Wars, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, is being re-released. Not only to celebrate its 25th anniversary, but also Star Wars Day being that Saturday. Being this Saturday.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you. Yep. Perfect timing. Also, this Saturday is Free Comic Book Day at your local comic book retailers. If you have kids, or even if you don't, swing by, support local businesses, and get your free comic books. Well, at least comic book samples. But nonetheless, check it out. That's also the Saturday. It's like, I think the way I worded it, I said sometimes the nerd moons align, or the nerd planets just align perfectly. This is one of those times.
Yeah.
And then also the horror movie Tarot is also coming out. Yep. Then next week we'll have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and then If and Strangers Chapter 1, which can't wait for you to tell me. And then back to Black. Like, we have, like, May's going to be kicking. We're going to be popping off on our summer movies.
Yep. Getting into gear.
Yep. And next week I will report back. I am actually going to go see the 45th anniversary, which still kills me, of Alien. So I'm going to go watch that because I have seen it many a time. I, however, have not seen it in theater. Because I was a year and a half when it came out. Well, probably two when it came out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, finally going to go see it in theater. So, it's going to be great. So, I shall report back next week with that experience. York didn't want to go. I kept trying to get him to want to go. And he said, yeah. And then every time I tried to bring it up, it was, you know, well, if you go see the other movie, let me know. I'm like, that's you just saying, sure, you'll go, but you really don't want to. Gotcha. All right, well, we're going to go see.
Wants to go to a movie, just not that one.
We'll go see Expendable Brits instead. That's fine.
Yeah.
Expendabritables. All ooh. Right, that's a. Ooh, go ahead.
Yes. One thing. In the one of the trailers I saw, I meant to mention it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a movie coming out that's probably going to challenge Monkey Man called Kill. And it's pretty similar as far as a lot of action. And whatnot, but just from it, I don't know if it's like a direct competition of it, but it reminded me a lot of that movie, and it's coming out July 5th.
Okay.
It follows a passenger on a train to New Delhi. The train soon becomes a combat battleground as a pair of commandos face an army of invading bandits.
Okay.
But the trailer's pretty intense, loaded with action, and I just immediately thought of Monkey Man when I was watching. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so they're like, all right, touche, challenge.
Yeah, accepted.
Yes. So is that going to be a good one to watch in July?
There you go. Awesome.
Yep.
Exciting. Cool. Well, that's all I got. You got anything else other than that one?
Nope. That's it.
Cool. All right. All right, everybody. We will talk to y'all next week where I get to relive my childhood by watching The Fall Guy. Granted, it's the movie, not the TV show. Doesn't matter.
Hope had the some lunchbox. Cool references.
Yep. Had the lunchbox. Had the thermos. All the things.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at parental_advisory_movie_pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.